You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
I have my opinions on what needs to be done in YYC. Now, what will Mr. Brad Treliving do? Yeah, he's the general manager, not me. Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Flames Unfiltered, episode number 74, recording it on September 30th, 2020. Yeah, we're not recording on our normal day. I apologize for that. And yeah, we waited till the Stanley Cup Finals got over. Tampa Bay hoists the cup. That was exciting to see. I found myself, I don't know why, cheering for Dallas every once in a while. And then I remembered that Corey Perry played for Dallas. And yeah, quickly changed how I felt about that. And ended up being, really, really happy about how... how it ended up. It was good. It was entertaining. It was a lot of fun. It probably wasn't the most marquee matchup having Dallas in the Stanley Cup Finals, but ended up being pretty damn entertaining. And yeah, the bubble worked. Zero positives. Huge thanks to the NHL and their staff and the officials and all the players for the sacrifice. It was huge. It was great. It was great to have hockey back. I loved every minute of it. And you know, I was very, very, very impressed with the quality of play. I mean, these guys played their asses off and, it was amazing to watch, and they did it without fans. I miss hockey fans. I miss it a lot. I miss the stupid banging on the glass, acting like morons. Yeah, Anaheim, you know who your fans are. I never thought I'd say that, but I miss it. I miss just the atmosphere of the arenas. And I pray that we can start up the season, and I pray that we can have fans back in the building. And this time of year, we're heading into October next week, we'd be starting the regular season off. And this is my favorite time of year, you know. Fall is in the air. It smells like winter, or it smells like fall, I guess, or football or hockey, whatever you want to relate it to. But, usually my favorite time of year, we're getting the season ready to drop the puck, and everybody's filled with anticipation, and everybody thinks their team's going to be the best team that year. And it's a little weird this year. And I think the most disappointing thing is we just don't know when we're going to get to start up. And that kind of sucks, but it is what it is. It is an interesting times in our world, and we're dealing with it the best we can. Well, the roster restructure is done. This is our fourth part of the roster restructure, and we'll go through that later on here in the show. And I did not take this lightly. I put a ton of time into this, and I put a ton of thought in. And yes, you might think some of my moves, my signings, or my trades, especially, the Gaudreau trade, I'm already getting heat on that one. You might think they're crazy, and you might think I'm losing my mind, but and maybe I am, but I love doing this. I love thinking about the Flames. I love thinking outside the box and what we can do to get this team on a long, long run. And I also learned that being a general manager of the National Hockey League is a damn hard job. You not only have to worry about building depth, but you got to figure it in the cap and how long you guys are going to have for, what line combos are going to be, and wow, do I have a player that can kill penalties? I need to have one of those on my roster too. And there's just a ton to think about, and it was a long four-part series. I enjoyed doing it, and I learned a ton about this team doing it too, because you have to think so much more detailed than you'd think you would have to. We're to 74. Yeah, episode 74 of Flames Unfiltered. And finally finalized that roster. On this episode, we're going to talk about that, and we'll talk about the current Flames roster and just discuss the nuts and bolts of what I think we need to see change in Calgary this offseason. And then we'll bring on a good buddy of mine to the show, Blake Fryers. I do the Debate Hockey podcast with him. He's going to come on to the show and talk about a recent poll on TSN that ranked the Canadian teams. Yeah, Calgary Flames fans saw it, and we were pissed. We'll get his take, see how the Canucks look, see how the Flames look. He'll talk a little bit about what he thinks the Canadian teams need to do to get over that hump and raise Lord Stanley, and he'll tell you who he thinks has the best chance at that. And then we will move into some Flames news, a kind of abbreviated version of Flames news, and we'll wrap with a Facebook poll on the ownership group of the Flames, and will they allow Brad Treliving to spend to the cap ceiling? I don't know. Sounds like an easy question, but maybe it's not so easy. It's time for another edition of Flames Unfiltered. It's time to get your fill of Calgary Flames talk.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Balls can hurt, but yours don't have to. At Manscaped, we save balls. Prevent manscaping accidents with the Lawnmower 3.0, featuring skin-safe technology by Manscaped.
Get 20% off and free shipping when you use promo code THPN at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you.
All right, Flames fans, time to wrap up part four of the roster restructure. And, yeah, you know, it's funny. I got this posted on Cap Friendly, and it's, you know, on a lot of my social media for the Flames Unfiltered show. And man, I got crucified for my trades. Holy crap. Did I get crucified? But you know what? And I was kind of feeling crummy about it. And I thought, you know, man, general managers in the league get crucified on a daily basis when they make trades. So why the hell am I any different? But these are two trades that I put together that I thought were legitimate trades and trades that would make the deals happen. And the first one I had, Adam Rziska, a Flames prospect and a first round pick this draft in 2020 heading to Arizona to get Darcy Kemper, get a number one goalie. I think that's so important to our roster this year. I think that's super, super critical. I had that trade. And then I also had Johnny Gaudreau shipped out of Calgary to many's dismay to the Carolina Hurricanes for Ryan Dzingel and a 2020 second round pick to somewhat recoup the 2020 first round pick I gave to Arizona. So really I get Darcy Kemper for Johnny Gaudreau with Ryan Dzingel thrown in for Adam Rziska. I didn't think that was that bad really. I thought that was pretty good. Dzingel would help on our forwards. Yeah, I hate to give up a first rounder, but if I'm getting a second rounder back to get Darcy Kemper out of Arizona, who's probably a top three goalie in this league, has proven himself for not just 1 year, but multiple years, and let go of our hometown hero, Johnny Gaudreau. But really, has Johnny Gaudreau done anything for us? Yes, yes, yes. He put up 99 points and woo, yeah. But we went nowhere. We're still sitting nowhere without a cup. Nowhere. And I don't expect Johnny Gaudreau, and I don't blame us not winning a cup on just Johnny Gaudreau. But his lack of production in the playoffs is critical. You need your stars to produce, and he doesn't in the playoffs. So let's take a look at my roster on where my roster would be. I would have a first line of Sean Monahan with Matthew Tkachuk and Lindholm on the wings. My second line would be Michael Backlund with Andrew Mangiapane and Ryan Dzingel on the wings. I would have Sam Bennett centering my third line with Dylan Dubé and Milan Lucic. We saw that line a lot in the playoffs, and it was good. Let's roll with it. And in my fourth line, I would have Derek Ryan with Tobias Reeder and Glenn Godden on the wings. Defensive pairings, I would have Noah Hanifin, Rasmus Anderson, Yusuf Alamaki, Mark Pizik, Mark Giordano, Derek Forbert, and then my two subs, I would have Oliver Shillington coming in, and maybe take a look at a young Connor Mackey. Goaltenders, Darcy Kemper and David Rittich. I would love that pairing. I think that would be an amazing pairing. And I like how our special teams kind of comes into play. You know, you look at power play on number one, you could have Mangiapane, Tkachuk, and Lindholm with Gio and Rasmus Anderson on the back end. Power play number two, I could have Sam Bennett, Dylan Dubé, and Sean Monahan with Valimaki and Hanifin on the back end. Penalty kill I really like as Derek Ryan, Tobias Reeder up front. Can't get much better than that in the league with Anderson and Forbert on the back end. Michael Backlund, Elias Lindholm up front with Giordano and Pizzic on the back end, and you can't really get too bad there. My roster size, yep, 24 players, the cap at 81.5, 79.2. That leaves me with 2.2 in cap space. Yeah, we're going to need that cap space. You can't go into a season spending right up to the cap. You're going to need it because things are going to happen. And if this team does get us into position, that allows a little bit of leeway to upgrade for a playoff push. So, well, let's talk about the current roster situation. What are the strengths? Well, you know, when I sit and I look at where we stand right now with our roster, and I expect actually movement probably this week, but where it stands right at the moment, I think this team has a few key parts up front with Tkachuk, Lindholm, and Monahan. I like them. I like where Monahan's growth was last year. A little disappointed in Lindholm in the latter part of the playoffs, but, I mean, how can you argue a guy that's probably the best salary contract in the league right now? And Matthew Tkachuk does so much, and boy, did we greatly miss him against Dallas this year. And then we have a few key pieces on the back end. I like Rasmus Anderson. I think that's a great signing, and I like what he brings to the team. Noah Hanifin, I like him. I know a lot of people don't, and a lot of people think he's going to get moved. I don't. I think he's young. I think he'll grow even more into the position and be a solid defenseman for the Calgary Flames. Great leadership in Gio. People question it. I just think it's ridiculous, you know. Gio is older. We're probably playing him way too much right now. He needs to fall down into the depth chart a little bit, but continue his leadership. This guy is so important to this Flames team. He just is. And for people to criticize him 1 year after winning a Norris, and really coming off a year last year that was not bad at all, It's pretty frustrating. It's pretty frustrating. You can see that Gio is a leader, not only in the locker room, but on the ice, but in the community. Could we ask for a better captain than Mark Giordano? I mean, we went from Jerome Iginla to Mark Giordano. Do you know how many franchises would give their right arm to go from Iggy to Gio as far as captains and leadership? It's crazy, people. It's crazy. Weaknesses. I'm not sure I like our top end depth. If that makes sense. With Gaudreau, Monahan, Lindholm, Tkachuk, I feel like we're missing somebody. And I think you need to move Tkachuk, or not Tkachuk, boy, oof, losing my mind. I think you need to move Gaudreau out. We've seen enough. It is time. And I know the fans don't want that. We saw that in our poll last week. But I think a shakeup needs to happen. Now, I like our bottom six. I really do. Like, I would love to have Milan Lucic and his salary go bye-bye, but that's not happening, and so we need to just make the best of that situation. Defense scares me a little bit. It's tough when you lose our probable loss of Hamonic, Brody, and Gustafson. I'm going to miss Hamonic for his grit and his guts and his always going the extra mile to make sure to make the play and be there for his teammates. Brody, I'm going to miss his skating style. I'm not going to miss his turnovers, but he was much better. And honestly, if we re-signed him, I would not be upset at all. Gustafson, I think there's high upside there, and I would like it if somehow we could re-sign him, but what he's asking is flat-ass crazy, and he's not getting it from Calgary in my mind. Now, unknown in net scares me. Now, this could turn into a strength with one move. You know, somehow we get a Jakob Markstrom to sign here. Markstrom and Kemper are my big two. If we get one of those two, I'm super pumped. If not, then I'm good with going with Talbot. I am. Now, there's lots of questions going into this season. How will this team react to a full season with Jeff Ward? Will one of the core get traded this offseason? I think that's a question most of us want answered the most. Is Monahan gone? Is Gaudreau gone? One of those two. Are they gone? Will Valimaki stay healthy next year and emerge as a true top four? Will Talbot return, or will we get that big fish? God, what would it be like with a Markstrom in net? It'd be amazing. Plus, Canucks fans would be freaking irate, wouldn't they? It'd be fun to watch. Is re-signing Brody the plan, or are we going to get that big top-end defenseman like Oliver Ekman-Larsson? I hear the Petrangelo rumors, and I'm not buying it. I'm just not buying it at all. Will Sam Bennett get the opportunity to emerge as a solid center this year like he was in the playoffs? I don't know. I hope so. Sam Bennett's like a love-hate relationship. Like, I love him at times, and I just hate his play at times. I loved him in the playoffs, and if he could carry that over to the regular season at 80%, then I'd be happy. I'd be extremely happy. Are we better as a team this season? I don't think so at this point, but the thing we have going for us in Calgary is that our general manager is aggressive. We've seen it before, and hopefully we'll see it again this offseason. This is an offseason that'll be, you know, and people say, well, this all the time, well, this is a critical offseason for this franchise and the history of this franchise. Yeah, you know, that you get those offseasons, but this really seems to be that in Calgary. We've given 2 years of playoffs to the core group, and they've underperformed. We have four defensemen that are UFAs. Where do we go there? We have a starting goaltender that's a UFA. We had a guy that we thought started was going to be our starting goaltender prove us 2 years in a row that he couldn't perform in the key moments. There's a lot to be determined. There could be a ton of turnover on this roster. I'm excited for this offseason. I think it's going to be amazing.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Joining Flames Unfiltered now, he's been on the show before. He is my co-host on the Debate Hockey Podcast. It is Blake Fryers. He is a Canucks fan. Yeah, I'm sorry, Flames fans, but he is on the show. And the reason I brought him on the show is TSN came out with a poll last week. And originally when I saw it, I just thought, this is just a stupid poll. But I started thinking about it a little bit more, and I kind of actually got pissed off about it. And I'll read off the poll and what it is. But TSN put it out, and it was a fan poll on which team will end Canada's Cup drought. The number one team with 31% of the votes was the Vancouver Canucks. Number two was the Montreal Canadiens at 19%. 18% was the Edmonton Oilers in third. In fourth was the Toronto Maple Leafs at 16%. In fifth was the Ottawa Senators at 6%. In seventh was the Winnipeg Jets at 6%. And yeah, our Calgary Flames, 4%, the lowest. So Canada thinks that Calgary is basically the worst of the seven Canadian markets. Blake's team is considered the best. I don't know if that's Vancouver's crazy Twitter market voting for this. What do you think, Blake? I don't know.
You know what? You know what I think this is?
What do you think this is, Blake?
This is recency bias. You just saw Vancouver Canucks make a crazy magical run in the East playoffs. And the last 3 years, the Flames have fizzled out in the first round. I think that's what this is came down to. And the fans, don't really believe in the Calgary Flames because they haven't really showed anybody that they are capable of getting the job done in the postseason. We haven't seen a deep run. When is the last time they've made it to the third round? Like, was it 2004?
Yeah. When's the last time Vancouver did?
Well, I mean, 2011, but they were one win away from going to the conference final this year. That's why I think that a lot of fans voted for Vancouver, because when you look at Vancouver, they have a piece in net with Demko. They have a cornerstone
on
the back end.
Don't forget Markstrom.
Well, or Markstrom, but they have a cornerstone. They're set in goal. You have a cornerstone in Quinn Hughes on the back end, and you got multiple cornerstones up front. So I think that in terms of a core, I would argue maybe the Leafs have a better core than the Canucks in terms of young cores, but it's definitely near the top. When I look at this list, though, how is Ottawa ahead of Winnipeg and Calgary? That doesn't really make sense to me. Ottawa has a lot of good young pieces in place, but they are far away from winning a Stanley Cup. You could argue that Winnipeg likely has the best chance at winning a Stanley Cup. Like, they go out and get some defense in the offseason. They still have Laine, Wheeler, Shifley.
I love Winnipeg's roster.
Kyle Connor.
Hellebuck
and Ned, who just won the Vezina. I mean, how can you argue that? Like, yeah, they didn't look good against the Calgary Flames, but when you lose
your
top-line center
and your top-line wing
in the first period, right? Laine got hurt.
No, Scheifele was 5 minutes in, and Laine was at the end of the second period. But whatever. I mean, game one.
Yeah, game one. Like that's two of the top six forwards out of your lineup. But
so Blake, how would you rank these seven? Like, how, I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but how would you rank these seven? And I'll give you mine after you're done, and then we can discuss it.
I agree with number one. I do think Vancouver would be number one for me. I would have Winnipeg two. I would have Toronto three, Calgary four. Who do I got left here?
You're at Vancouver, Winnipeg. Then who?
Toronto. Calgary. And then I would probably go Montreal, Edmonton,
and Ottawa. Okay, that's crazy. I would go, my number one would be.
Don't say Toronto, please.
You know, honestly, I would say Vancouver. But here's my deal though. If you sign Markstrom, then I'll give you the nod for the first spot. If you're not able to sign Markstrom, then I think it moves you down.
Down to what though?
Probably second.
Yeah. Who take top spot? Like who's number two for you?
Toronto right now. I can't believe I'm saying that. And I Edmonton, if Edmonton gets a goalie and one defenseman, then they maybe bolt up to
Like if they go out and get like a,
but they need some depth forwards too.
You can go out and sign a Braden Holtby and go out and get a top four defense and maybe like a Tyson Barry,
Ekman Larson.
That's way too much cap. They wouldn't be able to. You can't have McDavid, Drysdale, and Ekman Larson plus a goalie plus
Toronto does it.
Fill out your roster. Yeah, and look how Toronto's going to be. Like, they're cap strapped. They can't do anything. Like, you can't give all these players cap. Like, if Edmonton goes out and signs, they go out and get, like, a Braden Holtby and a Chris Tanev.
Yeah.
Like, that would be a – Chris Tanev would be a perfect fit in Edmonton. I can't believe I'm saying that as a Canucks fan. I would hate to see him go.
I would probably say, if I had to rank them, Vancouver, Toronto, Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. Edmonton, Calgary, Montreal, and Ottawa. I think Montreal has way, way too many upfront problems to solve quickly.
Yeah, but I mean, if they, like I said, if they go out and get like a Taylor Hall, because their back end, they improved their back end. They gave Carey Price a backup goalie and Jake Allen. He's going to get a lot of rest. You saw what Carey Price can do with a lot of rest. He's not going to be starting 70 games anymore. He's going to be starting 55, 60 games. Jake Allen's going to give him 25 games off, 20 to 25 for sure. So if they go out and add a top six forward, I wouldn't touch the back end. Their back end is fine. Like, they still got Shea Weber. They just locked up Petrie to a 4-year deal at a 6.25.
I don't mind their back end.
Their back end is great. They're going to be adding Alexander Romanov on the left side. Their back end is solid. They add a guy like Taylor Hall up there. I definitely think.
They need more, though, up front. They do.
Yeah, it's like, but just Taylor like, Hall would be a start.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, when you look at Edmonton, too, and I think Edmonton has some holes on the back end, and we talked about maybe
they need a right-handed D-man, for sure.
We were visiting earlier tonight, and we talked about maybe a Nugent Hopkins for a Dumba trade to Minnesota and what that would do to Edmonton, solidifying their back end. And if you could somehow figure out a way to build some some core pieces in the bottom six on Edmonton to help the McDavid Draisaitl situation. I don't know that Edmonton's that far off, but you know what really puzzles me about Edmonton is they still have yet to find anybody that clicks with McDavid. Is that crazy to say?
Well, you saw
you can't say Zach Cassian because he's going to be a nightmare for them.
I think Kaylor Yamamoto's looked perfect with him.
Absolutely. You know, I agree with you there.
He's been a perfect fit with there. I don't think you can load up and put Draisaitl with McDavid. I think you have to separate them to make the lineup deeper. and have them 1-2 down the middle, or, I mean, right now they got Nugent Hopkins as the second line center, but if you do move him to get a defenseman, Draisaitl slides to the middle, they got to look at trying to get rid of James Neal. I think
that's a buyout. I think it is. I do. I think that'll be the only other buyout we have. I do.
It could be.
We had Lundqvist and Ryan, and I think that'll be the third and only one. But you know what? You add a Dumba and you add a Holtby, or you add a quality goal. They might get Markstrom for all we know. You add those guys back there and they become a scarier team. But I just think that you have to have, you look at all the teams that have been successful in the National Hockey League in the last few years. They all have some stars, but they all have guys on entry level contracts that are producing above their expectations.
Yeah. And like you look at Tampa Bay, for instance, myself included, I hammered on them for going out and trading a first for Goodrow and trading a first for Coleman.
They look like geniuses now.
Dude, those guys were huge parts of that cup run. You look at Dallas, like Radek Faska, you look at Thomas Nosek for Vegas, you look at what is his name? He won a cup in Washington. He's on the fourth line. I forget his name, but like those fourth Smith line
Pelly
guys.
Back in the day, Devontae Smith-Pelly?
No, he just got traded. He's on Vegas now. I can't remember.
No, it doesn't matter.
Those guys on cheap deals on the fourth line, third and fourth line, those gritty guys, Edmonton doesn't have much of that. Like they don't have. Like they have Zach Cassian, but they gave him almost $4 million.
That contract is going to be.
It's going to haunt him. It's going to haunt
them. Freaking disaster for them.
It's going to haunt him.
Absolutely, it is.
It's like, man, who was that? Ken Holland that signed that deal, or was that?
It was. It was one of his. Yes.
Well, Ken Holland has a bad track record of signing horrible deals. You look at Jonathan Erickson in Detroit. Justin Advocator's on a horrible contract. Darren Helm was on a terrible contract. Like, there's just a pile that he handed out. Edmonton's in a unique spot. I mean, they got the brand new arena. You got the best player in the world. And they're still not making the playoffs. Like, something's got to give.
You know what? One of the things that's crazy, though, you look at the Canadian teams, and Ottawa, to me, is a train wreck right now, and that's going to take a long time. But you look at Montreal, and we talked about how many holes they have and what could happen this offseason. And then you look at, like, Winnipeg, and I like Winnipeg, except for they need to solidify that back end a little bit, the defense. Great goaltending, good forward core. I like their group. You know, you look at Calgary, and they got so many UFAs in the back end, so many unanswered questions, and what are you going to do with the core? Have we seen enough? Are we giving up on them? Or are we going to just pray that some freaking miraculous thing happens and this core starts producing in the playoffs, which I doubt will happen. But what do you, there's so many on it. You know, you look at each team and you look at Vancouver and they're so cash strapped, and what are they going to do with their goaltender? And like, oh my gosh, there is so many, every team in this Canadian, all seven of them, have so many unanswered questions that if we did the same conversation, let's say December 15th before we pray to God a season starts, it could be totally different.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like you mentioned, the Canucks with Markstrom, do the Flames trade Johnny Gaudreau, what does Edmonton do? Like there is so many, like, I'll come on this Flames Unfiltered podcast after.
I already penciled you in.
Oh, okay, yeah. So yeah, we'll talk about this, and maybe after the signings change, maybe this whole list changes. I don't know. Will,
with maybe the exception of Ottawa, and yeah. I don't think Montreal's a quick fix. I think there could be quick fixes in Vancouver. I think there could be quick fixes in Calgary. I think there could be quick fixes in Winnipeg and Edmonton. Toronto, I don't know what to think about Toronto because they're so strapped cash-wise. What can they really do?
They're just so talented, though. Like, it's just like they can get by with talent alone, but
they don't work hard.
They will not win in the playoffs. They won't. They're a regular season team. That's what the Leafs are. They're a regular season team, but
they have the lowest hits in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. So, but since this is a Calgary Flames podcast, like what? Where does Calgary go this offseason? Like, I don't think, like, I was a big proponent of trading Johnny Gaudreau, but like thinking about it now, I don't see him getting traded. I just don't.
I don't think he will either. I'd love to see it though, because I have seen enough. I've seen enough. And now we wait till next year, and then we got to worry about, oh God, are we re-sign this guy? And if we re-sign him, what the hell do we give him? And then if we don't re-sign him, we're going to lose him for nothing. And we did that with Aginla, and that's bullshit. So what now is down. Now is the best time. I agree with Eric Francis on this. As much as it's going to suck maybe, but now is when we're going to get our value. And our value that we get isn't going to be that high. It's going to
be, it might be like a couple picks and a prospect. Like it.
You want to hear, like you probably haven't heard this, but here's my trade I propose in my roster restructure for the Flames. I went through and did a complete roster restructure. This is the final episode of that. My trade for Johnny Gaudreau was sending him to Carolina for Ryan Dzingel and a second round pick. Because I think that's the return you're going to get.
I would trade him to Philadelphia for Morgan Frost.
They're not going to give up Morgan Frost.
Morgan Frost and a third round pick.
That's even riskier, but I don't dislike that.
I think that Philly needs to, we talked about this on the debate a couple weeks ago. Philly needs to shake it up. And that might be a trade that they do.
Because, you mentioned a Gothisbear coming to Calgary too.
Yeah, I did mention a Gothisbear coming to Calgary. I mean, the guy scored 60 points just 2 years ago. Like, this guy just does not, he doesn't just not know how to play hockey anymore. He's still a good D-man. He's just stuck in Evie's doghouse in Philadelphia. And I think he would be a perfect fit. You told me last week that Gustafson asked him for $6
million. Yeah.
He can take that and shove it up his ass. He's what, not getting $6 million.
Or mid five.
they'll gladly say, here you go. You can go ask for that.
He's not getting that. He's not even negotiating in Calgary right now from what I'm hearing through the people. He's not even negotiating in Calgary at the moment.
So when you look at Calgary's back end, okay?
It's a lot of unanswered.
You got Giordano and Noah Hanifin on the left side. You got Rasmus Anderson on the right side.
That's it.
Who else?
They're all free agents.
Like,
Hamek,
I don't see TJ Forbert. Brody coming back. I don't see Brody coming back.
I think you sign Forbert.
I would sign Forbert too.
I think you'll get
and maybe a guy like Oscar Fanberg.
I like Oscar Fanberg.
I liked him in Vancouver a lot. He makes smart plays. He's not the fastest guy. He's physical and he gets the job done. Maybe Calgary brings him on a cheap deal. He did play in Calgary before.
He did, yeah. I also think this is a make or break year for Oliver Shillington. A young, good skater, makes some questionable decisions.
We forgot Valimaki.
Yeah, Valimaki's going to be
nice. He'll be on the left-hand side.
Yep.
And so you got four D-men coming back, so you're going to need to add at least one right-handed defenseman.
And we also have a Connor Mackey, and I don't know how much you know about Connor Mackey, but he's an off-season NCAA signing. What looked really, really good in our July training camp that we had, and I know that's a pipe dream to think that he'd be an everyday NHLer next year, and I don't necessarily think that, but I think he has the potential to be in the near future. So he's a bright spot that you look at there, but we definitely need to either, you know, re-sign one of our existing UFAs or go out above and beyond Forbert. I think we need to get him, but I think we need to, you know, either sign a Brody or go get somebody comparable.
Would you bring in Tyson Barrie on a cheap contract?
No.
A one-year deal? Just a prove-it deal?
No, we need solid defensemen. We need defensemen. We need guys that are strong on the back end. To me, it makes no sense.
Chris Tanev would be
a guy amazing. He'd be amazing.
He would be a perfect fit with Giordano.
That'd be great to have him.
Yeah, that Chris Tanev, I love the guy to death. He's one of my favorite defensemen on Vancouver. I don't know. I hope he stays in Vancouver, takes a pay cut. But there, like, if he doesn't sign at Vancouver, there's going to be 20 teams giving this guy a contract offer. That's how good he is. He eats pucks. He eats pucks for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and he has them for a snack too. That's what the guy does. He puts his body on the line.
Well, he's like Travis Hammond.
The block shots.
That's a
yes, 100%. He's a better Travis Hammond. He's a better defenseman than Travis Hammond. But yeah, similar players sacrifice their body at all costs. But a guy like that is what.
What if you could land him? Oh, you couldn't afford both of them. What if you could land him in Gothosphere?
Maybe.
But if you give Gaudreau up, then you can afford him.
Yeah.
Because that's almost an equal for equal contract, so.
Like the Calgary's forwards, their top six is set. I really liked that third line in the playoffs with Lucic, Bennett, and what was the guy in the
Dylan Dubé.
Dylan Dubé. That line was meat and potatoes. They got it done. And I think that you keep that line together. So that leaves you with Tkachuk, Monahan, Gaudreau, Lindholm, Backlund.
Backlund.
That's five. Who am I missing out of the top Gaudreau. Six? I already said Gaudreau.
Gaudreau, Tkachuk, Monahan, Lindholm, Mangiapane, and Backlund. That's six.
Oh, Mangiapane is in your top six, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I see him more of a third line guy. Maybe Dubé slides up in the top six this year.
I like Mangiapane's play better than Dubé.
You do, eh?
I do.
I thought Dubé looked really good in the playoffs. Maybe it was the beard.
Yeah, maybe. Mangiapane.
He's an RFA, right?
Yeah, and I shit on Mangiapane quite a few times during the regular season, and I've had to eat my words on him. He's proven me wrong a lot this year.
Yeah, I mean, but the biggest question from okay, and then in net you bring back Cam Talbot.
Well, you do if you can't get you make public enemy number one. Your number one go to guy to go get is Markstrom. If you can't get Markstrom, then you try to trade for Darcy Kemper. Mm-hmm. And if you can't get Darcy Kemper, then you sign Cam Talbot. It's 1-2-3.
So okay, let's play a little game here. What would you trade for Darcy Kemper?
Easy. You trade a second, or you trade a first round pick this year and a prospect. Mm-hmm. A lower grade prospect. I named Ruziska came to mind.
Adam Ruziska?
Yep.
I think it would.
Would get the deal done.
I think it would cost two picks.
No.
Yeah.
No one's giving them two. They have to shed him. They have to get rid of him. They have two goalies signed next year.
I think Kemper goes to Calgary for a first and a third round pick.
Okay, fine. I'll give you a third round pick instead of Ruziska.
Yep. I think that's
what it'll be. I think
they need their picks. They need their picks. Like they lost all their picks. So they're gonna be trading.
But I don't give them a third round this year. Well, we don't even have a third round this year, I don't think.
It'll be a first this year and a third next year.
Yeah, but
so I think that would be a fair deal. I mean, because what's Calgary's pick? It would be like it would be a mid pick, right?
19.
So yeah, and a deep draft too. So
Kemper signed 3 years or two or three more years at 4.5.
Yeah, it's a steal. It's 100% a steal. And you know, goaltending wasn't.
That makes this team so much better.
But does it really though? Because goaltending isn't the issue in Calgary, Brad.
I know it's not.
It's been scoring timely goals. That's been the problem all the time. And obviously now you need to rebuild your back end. Like if they brought back Talbot and Rittich, they'd be fine.
I'm fine. I'm with that. I'm good with that.
If you bring back Talbot,
but if I can get Kemper for $1 million more.
Yeah, 100%, 100% you do it, but. I mean,
for $1 million more.
If you get Kemper and you can't upgrade your back end, I don't do that trade. You can't do that.
Well, we have to upgrade our back
Calgary might trade that first round pick to upgrade their back end.
Well, they have been rumored because, for Oliver Ekman Larson. Such a high price tag.
Can he play the right side, though?
Yeah.
Has he played his offside that much?
Giordano plays the right side.
Oh, Giordano does play his offside?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So he goes over the right side. You slide Anderson down. Yeah, I think that would be fine. But he's $8.25 million.
I know. I'd rather have Kemper.
But why not both?
Okay, but you got to remember.
Hold on. Why don't you put a little twist on this? Why don't you get Kemper and Ekman Larson. You give them Johnny Gaudreau. You give them a first-round pick. You give them a third-round pick.
That's too much. We don't need. If we're giving Johnny Gaudreau, we don't need to give that much.
Oh, plus they. Well, yeah.
They need to shed salary here. They're not trading those guys because they want to. Well,
Kemper for a first, a third, and then Johnny Gaudreau for Ekman Larson.
Okay. But we're taking a huge contract on there too.
Well, you're eating 12 and you're giving up 6. So you upgrade your back end.
Yeah, no, I'm not against it.
Like I don't know.
I'm not so worried about the $8 million. I'm worried about
Let me look here real quick. I'm gonna go with cap friendly. Calgary has $17 million in cap space. So that's they have Mangiapane to sign. I think they bring back Toby Reeder. He's a great fourth liner for you guys. Ronaldo?
No.
Maybe.
No.
Mark Janikowski, you later.
Have a nice day.
Travis Hamonic, see you later. Forbrot, I'd bring back. Michael Stone, see you later. Gustafson, see you later. Oliver Shillington, they'll bring back on a two-way contract. TJ Brody, I say see you later. So that leaves you got to sign about 4 guys. With 17 plus Cam Talbot, if you bring him back, that's 5 guys with $17 million. Plus, you want to upgrade your back end. That's not a lot of cap space at all.
No, I know.
Yeah, it disappears pretty quickly.
Just like every other team in the league, man.
I remember a couple years ago, I was looking at Vancouver's cap, and I was like, oh wow, we have $30 million in cap space. We signed Alexander Edler to 2 years, $6 million. We signed another couple guys. I'm like, wow, we have $8 million left. It's like it goes so quick.
It goes quick. But I just looked at those Canadian rankings and I just shook my head because I think you summed it up perfectly with recency bias. I think you're right on the money there. And we'll see. I pray it's Calgary, and I know you pray it's Vancouver that breaks this Canadian slump. But eventually,
1993. It's been a long time.
Eventually, it's got to happen. Thanks for joining the show, Blake. You can check Blake and I out on the Debate Hockey Podcast. You can check that out on Apple Podcasts, any podcast. We're on all of them, and you can check it out on Inside Edge Hockey News. You can also check Blake out if you're a baseball guy. Check out his podcast called Chasing Two. That's on Apple Podcasts and all the main podcast platforms. A good baseball podcast, and they're in the heart of the playoffs now, so you can check Blake's latest episode of that. Thanks for joining the show, Blake, and we'll talk to you soon.
InsideEdgeHockeyNews.com, your inside source for interviews with players and members of the hockey world. InsideEdgeHockeyNews.com.
All right, Flames fans, time for a little bit of Flames news. Flames prospect Etu Tulio has been assigned to Västerviks IK in the Swedish Hockey Alliance League. Tulio, a forward selected in the 6th round of the 2016 draft. These are the prospects that we need to start seeing come to fruition in Calgary. Everybody, I've been really critical of our depth in our prospects. I think it needs to improve. Well, it can start next week not this week coming up, but the following week. We head into the NHL draft. We will preview that on the next episode, along with free agency and the plethora of moves that could happen. And I can't wait for that. Boy, that's going to be a lot of fun. Another topic I wanted to talk about was, does physical play equal success? Well, hits were tracked for all the teams in the bubble. 24 teams went into the bubble, 12 and 12. And they've tracked hits. And up until last week, the leader in hits with 40.8 per 60 minutes was the Dallas Stars. Now let me read off the top. I'll read off the top 6. Dallas, Islanders, Vegas, Rangers, Tampa, and Calgary. Calgary averaged 35.84. And I think that was a bright spot in Calgary this year. I really do. Now the teams that hit the least. Number 1, Toronto, 19. That's terrible, isn't it? Nashville, 22.98. Columbus, 23.18. Chicago, 24.45. Pittsburgh, 26.52. Arizona, 27.28. And Edmonton, 28.75. That is the final seven, and they all went out immediately. That tells me something. And if you look at the top, I mean, Dallas are still running to win a cup. You know, Vegas went on a long run. The Islanders went on a long run. Now, the Rangers did go out right away. They'd be the exception. And Calgary went out right away. Well, actually, they got to Winnipeg. But, you know, the top four teams in the conference final teams were in the top five in physical teams. Our other general managers are going to see this and be like, we thought this league was going to more run and gun. But, you know, maybe it's not. Maybe this isn't a run-and-gun league or trending towards a run-and-gun league. I've always said that defense wins championships, and part of defense is being physical and taking your opponent off the puck. I think general managers need to be aware of this. This is a big thing. And I think and pray that Brad for a Living doesn't go out and get a bunch of slow goons, but we need some bigger wingers that can be, you know, a presence out there. We need guys with Jankowski's body that actually hit. Probably my one last Jankowski shot before he's history. I'm sorry. All right, let's roll on to our Facebook poll. Our friends at Flames Hub. I love those guys on that Facebook group. Great guys. And also on Calgary Flames Fans. As I posed a poll last night, short poll, not a lot of time, but it was a quick and easy question. Do you think Calgary Flames ownership will allow Brad Treliving to spend the salary cap this season? Now, a lot of people were like, well, wait a second. This is a dumb question. Why would we not? We always spend to the cap. Well, that's not true. We didn't years back, but we have in the recent future, or recent times. Why would we not be allowed to? Well, I think there's a chance. Think about it. There's been salary cuts everywhere. Employees are suffering. Owners are suffering financially. These owners didn't get rich with their hockey team. They got rich because their other business. And other businesses are suffering immensely during this pandemic. So their money's not coming in from their feeder that feeds their NHL team. Shoot, Arizona and Buffalo have already announced that they'll be far away from the cap. They're looking to shed salary left and right. Well, they didn't come right out and say that publicly, but they've been quietly announcing a salary sell-off. That's why we hear the names Ekman Larson. That's why we hear the names Darcy Kemper. That's why we hear the names Alexander Barkov. Can you believe that? We're hearing that name. Teams are shedding salary. They have to. Rasmus Ristolainen, we wouldn't be hearing that name in Buffalo if they weren't looking to shed money. You got to remember, hockey starts with its fans to generate revenue, and we haven't been playing with fans. And I can't imagine we start next season without fans. I can't imagine that we play without fans next year. I don't know when we'll start, to be honest with you. And that's not going to help ownership's money coming in. The results of this poll were exactly what I expected. 262 people polled. 85% of them said, well, yeah, we'll be selling to the cap. And 15% said, no, we won't. Now, I don't mean, you know, leaving $2 million like I left just for a safety net for a trade deadline. That's, to me, the cap, spending to the cap. But I don't know. I originally didn't even consider it. But then I thought, this actually is a possibility that they don't spend to the cap. I think Flames ownership group will look at the roster that we have and say that it's time to spend to the cap. We're not rebuilding or anything. So I think we will get that in Calgary, which is a good thing. But I don't know. I think a lot of teams are going to take for granted that they are going to spend to the cap and they're not going to. And it might even be some Canadian franchise. It might. It'll be interesting to see what happens, and man, I just hope we can get through this pandemic and finances can be okay. But I'll tell you what, I don't know how the National Hockey League and its owners aren't going to take a huge, huge hit on this one.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, Flames fans, let's talk a little bit about next week's episode. And next week, we're going to start season two of Flames Unfiltered. And we're going to start it off with talk about next year, and that is a preview of the draft and a preview of free agency. This offseason is going to be crazy, and man, oh man, I hope it's short, and I hope that we're dropping the puck in December, but I doubt it. It looks like maybe more January. Damn it, I hope it's not later than January. I want normal life. Enough is enough. We did what we had to do. We're staying safe, but okay. I'll quit my bitching and whining. Anyways, thanks for following Flames Unfiltered, listening to Flames Unfiltered every week, reaching out to me with your questions. I want fan input. I appreciate all the listens. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. And oh yeah, by the way, we're on Instagram now, for whatever that's worth. See you next week, Flames fans.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey. Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This production is copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.